everyone. It's Brian DeBrain here. It's 1:45 in the morning, early Sunday, late Saturday night. I just got back from Battle of Los Angeles 2015, Stage 2. Quite the epic night. I thought it was, you know, miles away ahead of last night in terms of in-ring quality and match quality. And overall, as a show, I thought Night 2 of this year's Battle of Los Angeles is one of the best PWG shows of the year. Just a spectacular card, up and down right from the start. And right from the beginning, the crowd was jacked. There was a certain energy about the night. I guess the presence of Super Dragon, knowing that he's going to wrestle in a match, kind of brings that out of people. It felt like a special night going in. Everyone kind of had this buzz going in, especially with that Super Dragon 6-man Guerrilla Warfare match. And it really paid off in the main event. So the night started off with Marty Scurll defeating Rich Swann with the chicken wing. This was pretty entertaining because, as you know, Rich Swann likes to have extended entrances singing all night long, but Marty Scurll this time kind of cut it short, snuck up, and hit him with his umbrella and broke his umbrella over Rich Swann's back and then proceeded for a powerbomb. And people thought that was going to be the finish 30 seconds in, and if that was going to be the finish right there, right off the bat, I would have believed it because a sneak attack like that would have shook things up. But they had a back-and-forth match instead. Marty Scurll plays a good heel. He's got the great facial expressions that kind of play off kind of like a gritty kind of heel, and it came off well here. And basically, Marty Scurll got the win with the chicken wing, and Rich Swann kind of been losing a lot lately in PWG, so maybe that's kind of a telling sign. I don't know, but Marty Scurll did good here, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on tomorrow and faces either maybe Will Ospreay in another UK versus UK match or, you know, something like that. But you know, it's good to see Marty Scurll advance, and it's nice to see a fresh face in the next round. So, the next match was pretty entertaining. Jack Evans and Angelico. I was really excited going in for this match. Probably one of the more anticipated matches for me personally, just because I know that these two guys can really do some athletic, crazy things, and they really did. They dove. They did, you know, kung fu. At one point, Jack Evans took a drink, and he went into the crowd, took a drink, chugged it, and proceeded to do Jackie Chan's Drunken Master in the ring. It was pretty damn incredible. He pulled it off really well. You know, he was really entertaining in this match. Jack Evans did a lot of talking in this match, and Jack Evans likes to talk in his matches. So he really just tried to, you know, engage the crowd almost like improv or stand-up comedy or something like that, and just kind of feed off the crowd and what they were feeling. So he kind of set the tone of what the match would be like. He tried to make it seem like the two had heat, but you know, Angelico just kind of flapped his hands, you know, kind of mocking Jack Evans talking a lot. So it was pretty entertaining. And it wasn't as crazy as you'd think it'd be. It was more the sports entertainment side than, you know, like a luchador kind of match. But they did play off the luchador kind of, you know, submission holds and whatnot. So a really fun match. And it ended with the Karate Kid kick. And before Jack Evans did the whole pose, like in the Karate Kid, he went, "This is Reseda where they filmed the Karate Kid." So he basically did the Karate Kid kick in honor of being in Reseda. So that was pretty awesome. A lot of history in that movie tied to Reseda, so makes sense. The next match was pretty damn awesome. Fucking Timothy Thatcher and Chris Hero. Timothy Thatcher's facial expressions in this match were out of this world. He made this match what it was. He basically wanted to go in there and just, you know, prove to Chris Hero that he was just as tough as he was, and he can take it and bring it just as tough as, bring it hard and just as, you know, just like Chris Hero can. And basically this was, to me, this was the Tim Thatcher show. He worked on Hero's leg. He almost made Hero tap out. They were just knocking each other loopy, you know, and senseless with elbows and all kinds of strikes and stuff. But Timothy Thatcher really made this match, and it's one of the better matches of the night. And Chris Hero's on a roll right now in PWG, having incredible matches. And he had an incredible match here. He got the win with the Hero's Welcome. Some of the crowd kind of booed that finish, but there was definitely a big contingent of, you know, let's go Thatcher. It was about 60-40 in terms of Thatcher. And, yeah, the crowd really wanted him to win. So I don't know if this was a miscue in terms of the booking, but in hindsight, I think maybe Tim Thatcher getting the win here would have been better. But they gave the win to Chris Hero. So, but Tim Thatcher's definitely going to get more bookings based on this performance. I mean, this was, you know, miles and away better than the performance he had at the Mystery Vortex show. So I think that says a lot right there. And then the next match was just insanity with the Lucha Underground guys. It was Phoenix and Aerostar against Drago at Pentagon Jr., and boy, this was everything you thought it would be, just kind of like that Lucha Underground kind of style, just no nonsense. I don't even think there were tags at one point. It seemed like they just kind of threw tags out the window and doing double pins here and there and all kinds of stuff. The match did end with a double pin, but just, you know, just what you'd expect from these guys. Just dives all over the place, crazy double team moves, crazy lucha submissions. The match was so good that the fans started throwing money into the ring afterward. It is a lucha tradition to throw money into the ring when the crowd really loves a match in Mexico. And basically, they abided here and even throw in some stripper jokes from the fans, like, shake it, you know, take it off, kind of thing going on. But Phoenix got on the microphone afterward and just, you know, thanked the crowd for their support and thanking them for throwing the money in the ring and all that kind of thing. And I posted that picture on the Twitter page, and lots of dollar bills flying around in the ring. It's pretty awesome, and it was really beautiful to see in a way, because it was kind of like... just, you know, the art form, you know, of Lucha Libre, the way it's treated in Mexico, getting the same respect here in the States. I think that's really nice to see. So, intermission. After intermission was the, let me see here, get my notes straight. It's been a long night. basically, let's see here. After intermission, what did we have here? Yes, Drew Gulak and Tommy Inn. This match started out really good, but then the ending kind of just came out of nowhere. Like, it was just a kick from Tommy Inn after a flurry. They didn't really build to the finish. It felt like they were in, like, second gear. And before they went to the third gear, they went to the finish. I don't know if there was some miscommunication. I don't know if they went too early for the finish. I don't know if the finish was called too quickly. I don't know. It seemed like everything was fine. I don't know if someone got hurt and we just didn't notice, but... the ending was kind of weird. It kind of cut the momentum out of the match. People were looking around going like, what the hell just happened? Was there a finish just now? And it just kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if they were rushed on time or what, but it was kind of disappointing. But it started out so good. But it's Tommy Inn, of course, you know, kicking like crazy. And, of course, Drew Gulak's just, you know, trying to wrestle him down to the mat and make him tap. But kind of disappointing. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm sure Drew Gulak will still be there tomorrow and probably be in the tag match or something like that. But it's nice to see Tommy Inn get a first win in PWG. And hopefully he'll have probably a strong style match with someone tomorrow night. I mean, God, maybe him and Pentagon Jr. or something like that would be kind of a sick sight to see. So we'll see where he ends up in the tournament. But the next three matches were just put the show over the top, in my opinion. Just back to back to back with just... probably low-end match of the year candidates, but just awesome matches back-to-back. Speedball Mike Bailey against Drew Galloway was amazing. I don't know what to say. I mean, man, Speedball Mike Bailey's having a role in PWG, and basically he's just all over the place right now in terms of having these fantastic matches and basically just being probably the MVP of PWG right now outside of, I don't know, maybe like Chris Hero or the Bucks or something like that. But man, this match was just incredible. It's basically the same storyline you've seen in all the Mike Bailey matches. He's going in as the underdog. The crowd wants him to win so bad, but he's just getting thrown around and beat up in there by the bigger guys. And basically this was just Mike Bailey proving to a bigger man that he's just as much as a man as he is. And Drew Galloway basically, I kind of came off like a bully, but that's kind of the point when a big man little man match is like this. So this was outstanding at times, excellent. You know, standing ovation pretty much afterward. I mean, what can I say? So many near falls, but at so many times that you thought like Mike Bailey was just going to conquer the giant, and then Galloway getting all this offense in, and you know, it seemed like at some point that he was just going to put Bailey away like nothing, and then Bailey would come back with this flurry of offense out of nowhere. And man, it's just like that Chris Hero match from the Three Mendes show where Bailey would just get knocked down, but he would just get back up and basically did almost the same kind of finish where he got the cradle out of nowhere. And man, Mike Bailey right now is having a hot run in PWG. And right now, if I were to pick a pick, I would love to see him and Jack Evans have a match and just have kind of this crazy kung fu match. I mean, both are kind of playing off the Karate Kid, so I think it would be kind of cool to see Speedball Mike Bailey and Jack Evans have like a Kung Fu Karate Kid match tomorrow. So that's kind of like my prediction, but we'll see. The next match was Ricochet and Zack Sabre Jr. This was just fantastic. I mean, you would have contrasted the styles that kind of played into one another. You know, Ricochet tried to do the high flying, while Zack Sabre Jr. kind of kept them grounded and level. And that was the story of the match. Basically, it played off the finish from last year as well, where Zack Sabre Jr. beat Adam Cole with that roll up, that cradle he likes to use. And that was the same finish here. And it was a split crowd. Everyone was basically 50-50. There were chants for both guys. Both these guys. Zack Sabre Jr. is so over with the crowd right now that people are literally chanting "Next World Champ" at him, which is kind of weird. This was just the contrast of styles, but it just played off so well. And Zack Sabre Jr. came off like the best wrestler in the world. I mean, I can't say that he is. That's really hard to say. That's kind of like a loaded statement to throw out there for wrestlers. But he's certainly making a case for being the best wrestler in the world. I mean, in almost every instance of offense, like, it just, every counter somehow led to the armbar, and then eventually that played into the finish. So just he kept working the arm, and eventually just, you know, the arm work paid off, and then he locked him in a cradle where he couldn't kick out. And just an outstanding match. Definitely worth checking out. And then the main event. This was this was insanity. Guerrilla Warfare, Mount Rushmore 2.0, Super Dragon and the Young Bucks against Trevor Lee, Biff Busick and Andrew Everett. A lot of drama and emotion in this match. A lot of storytelling. Basically, it started out just right from the get-go, just brawling outside all over the place. Lots of chairs being thrown around, trash cans being thrown around. Like halfway through the match, the Bucks knocked out the ref. There was two refs. They wanted to have two refs for this match because it was so chaotic. And then Rick Knox came in, who was the secondary ref. And, you know, of course, he's been having, you know, issues with Mount Rushmore 2.0 getting beat up by them for the last couple months during the summer. So it played into the story of the storyline. And basically, they beat up Knox. And Knox would get some revenge later in the match, having some offense on the Bucks and Super Dragon getting a huge pop from the crowd. But basically, if I were to sum up this match or kind of compare it to something, it'd be kind of compared to The Empire Strikes Back. The good guys kind of have some offense, you know, a lot of cool offense, but eventually the ending is just kind of like a downer ending. Super Dragon pinned Biff Busick. It kind of went to the same route as last night in the six-man tag, where eventually both guys, like in the last night's six-man tag, both guys left Sabre Jr. alone with Mount Rushmore in the ring, and basically it was like a three-on-one kind of finish, and this kind of was a three-on-one finish in the end, where it was like a Psycho Driver slash Indie Taker, and it was just pure insanity. I mean, they brought back the Jordan, I don't know if they're Jordans, but Nike, whatever, sneaker thumbtack shoes, and that played into the match, and basically all the big faces tried their hardest, and then just got beat up at the end, and you know, it ended with, it did end with I call it a Psycho Indie Taker, which sounds freaking awesome, but Biff Busick took some major punishment in this match. He basically took a double stomp on a chair with thumbtacks on the chair. Tons of super kicks being thrown. Trevor Lee went through a table. Andrew Everett took some bad lumps from the fucking, the thumbtack shoe. I mean, that was brutal. This whole match is brutal. Basically, it was just kind of like The Empire Strikes Back, where the bad guys win at the end, giving you some hope for some revenge down the line. Because basically, after the match, Excalibur got on the mic, went in the ring, and said, "This is bullshit. You guys can't keep doing this. This is gonna end. Mount Rushmore is nothing. Blah blah blah." And you thought that was the end of the show, and then the Bucks and Super Dragon came out again, proceeded to beat up Excalibur. And then basically Chris Hero, who's doing commentary for the main event, just stood up, stared right at Super Dragon and the Young Bucks, and basically fucking went into the ring, and then they bailed, basically. And then this fucking Super Dragon fan, I think, which a lot of people have already taken pictures of online, was just chanting for Super Dragon, the only guy in the building chanting for Super Dragon right at that moment, because, I mean, Super Dragon was just a major heel. And he was just pissing everyone off because he was like, "Fuck everyone else, Super Dragon, fuck you, Chris Hero." And then Chris Hero got fucking annoyed at the guy and went face-to-face, and there's pictures of that online already, and went face-to-face with this fan. I think the fan's a plant because it just seems like it's so convenient that he went face-to-face with the fan, and all of a sudden, Mount Rushmore comes back out again and fucking Ambushes Chris Hero, and then, you know, Super Dragon gives him the Psycho Driver, and they beat up Chris Hero, so it's just like, basically, Mount Rushmore just beating everyone up, you know, NWO style, and, basically, it's gonna lead up to something bigger. I mean, this seemed like kind of like a revenge match for the good guys, but this ended up being, like, you know, not even a squash, I wouldn't say, but just kind of like the Empire Strikes Back, basically. This is kind of like the middle chapter, I kind of see it as. And basically, it's just the bad guys just keep dominating. And it looks like maybe possibly an 8-man guerrilla warfare or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if something involved all 8 members, you know, all 4 members of Mount Rushmore, because they've never done like an 8-man Mount Rushmore tag yet. And I think that maybe even do, I don't know, maybe an 8-man to set up a final 1-on-1 between Biff and Super Dragon, because the way it ended, it just seems like Biff has to have his revenge and pin Super Dragon and beat him 1-on-1. I mean, there was so much intensity and so much buzz when they were doing when they paired up in the match, and just an incredible atmosphere. The crowd was just super jacked. This match was just insanity, and it pretty much kind of encapsulated the whole night in terms of just how insane and crazy this show was. One of the better PWG shows of the year. In fact, it maybe may end up being the best PWG show of the year, next to Don't Sweat the Technique, but. Yeah, man, this is going to be memorable. Definitely get the DVD. I mean, this, I thought, in my opinion, blew away the first night. And, you know, it was good to see the guys like Aerostar, who were nervous on night one, kind of get a clean slate on night two and get the crowd back on his side and get money and tips and shit as a result of it. So that's pretty cool. In terms of predictions, I got it. Like I mentioned before, I think Mike Bailey and Jack Evans should have a match. I think Zack Sabre Jr. and Pentagon Jr. should have a match, or possibly interact in, like, the final, possibly. But my pick right now is still Trevor Lee. I see a scenario where Biff Busick maybe gets a win in the next round, but gets screwed over and gets, like, taken out by Super Dragon or something like that. So, kind of like a similar situation last year where Kyle O'Reilly got eliminated but never lost. So, it's a way of protecting Biff Busick or something like that. Because I think Trevor Lee, in terms of long-term, based on what I've heard and what other people have heard and the rumors about certain people from the WWN Live universe getting signed, I would still pick Trevor Lee in the long run, so it wouldn't surprise me if some kind of screw job goes over or happens or something like that to Biff Busick. So, and in terms of who's left, I think basically Tommy End has to have a nice strong style match. I think they're going to do Matt Sydal and Will Ospreay, because they have kind of a series going on. They had 2 matches in the UK that got a lot of buzz. And it wouldn't surprise me if they brought it here to the U.S., and especially PWG, where the crowd will just eat it up. So wouldn't be surprised if they did that. So that was basically night two in a nutshell. Just insanity, violence, and tips, apparently, from generous fans. So that's night two. Night three is going to be epic and long. And I wouldn't be surprised if we actually got a Chuck Taylor multi-man tag retirement match or something like that, because... Again, Chuck Taylor was on commentary, and it wouldn't be surprised me if he did his final, quote-unquote, you know, PWG match as a farewell to the fans and, you know, his friends. So, that's a wrap for tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow night, and that's it. Peace. Boom.